Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios. Good morning, everybody. Once again, it is Friday, my favorite day of the week, 11 a.m., and you're listening to Georgia Business Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and that right there is Rich Casanova.
No way, you're pointing at me. Ryan, we're on radio, by the way, yeah.
That's okay. Let the folks know you're producing, engineering, and most of all, captaining this ship here today to set sail for some good business talk.
Nice, yeah. We were just talking about one of our guests here. Actually, everybody in the studio has been on the high seas, yeah. Except for you.
Well, that's right. I'm planning my trip now as we speak.
All right.
Very good.
But nice.
Looking forward to another show today of some good conversation, talking business, and talking how these folks here in the studio are changing the world for the better. So let's introduce our guest here first, Mr. Douglas Cito. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And you're with Cito Logic, right?
We are, yes. We're a software-based consulting firm that works with banks and credit unions around the country to bring analytics and forecasting to their banks and credit unions.
That's exciting. Yeah. I look forward to hearing more about that in a moment. And also joining us is David Martin, President and CEO of Vane Innovations. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing real well, Ryan. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining us. David is an RN who received his degree in nursing in 1980 and since then has worked primarily in the field of cardiovascular medicine. After 10 years in intensive care units and emergency rooms, he became a board-certified registered nurse, first assistant, and went to work with heart and chest surgeons as an assistant in both operating room and on the wards. One of his responsibilities was harvesting the saphenous veins for use as conduit as coronary bypass surgery, and in 1994 became the first in the state of Georgia to do this using a scope rather than the traditional open incision method. This method has become the standard of care in Georgia and is now used in virtually every operating room in the country. In 2002, David founded Vane Innovations as the first facility of its kind in Atlanta to offer every available technique for the treatment of venous insufficiency and varicose spider veins. A decade later, Vane Innovations is widely regarded as the leader in office-based treatment for venous disease. Wow, quite accomplishment there, discovering all this. Tell us a little more about your background and, you know, what led you to begin Vane Innovations.
Well, as my bio points out, a long, long time ago, apparently I graduated from nursing school and worked as an intensive care nurse for about 10 years or so, emergency rooms, that kind of thing. Ended up in the operating room. So I liked the operating room. It was a lot of fun. It was very interesting. Of course, always a privilege to be in that situation, taking care of patients. And as it also correctly points out, one of my jobs was harvesting the saphenous vein. Well, mm-hmm. The greater saphenous vein is the largest superficial vein in the body. It runs really from the top of the foot all the way up to where your hip flexes and where it joins the femoral vein, which is a big, deep vein in the leg. At any rate, as it happens, the saphenous vein is responsible for varicose vein disease about 95% of the time. So it's also interesting because only about 5% of the total blood flow of the leg goes through that vein. So when it's working, you don't notice it. If it's absent, you really don't notice it. But when it stops working and starts failing, then you really notice it causes all kinds of problems. So we saw an opportunity there, particularly since in the late 90s, early 2000s, catheter-based treatment was developed to treat the problems that this vein causes. So there we go.
Very good. So 2002, you guys have been around. You have several locations in the metro area.
We have a location in Johns Creek. We have one in Sandy Springs on the campus of St. Joseph's Hospital. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be opening our Midtown location.
I bet you're excited about that.
Very excited.
You're having a big launch party.
Yes, we are. Yes. In fact, everybody's invited. It's
even Business Radio X?
Even Business Radio X. You have to bring your
Rich,
own food.
Mark it on the calendar.
I'm in.
It's on the 15th of July from 4 to 6 at our new location, 1355 Peachtree Suite 1550, I think.
Okay, July 15th in Midtown.
Right.
And so let's talk about varicose veins. You know, from my perspective, it was always a cosmetic type thing. You know, someone had the spider veins, the varicose veins. Oh, well, I want to get rid of these. But you're saying there's actual physical health implications there. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the physiology of this is blood starts going the wrong direction in the leg. When it does that, you know, veins bring blood back to the heart. Mm-hmm. So the saphenous vein really has quite a task, bringing blood from the bottom of one's foot all the way back up to the heart, uphill all the way. So it does this. There's a a lovely little method called the muscle pump, where the muscles of the legs sort of massage the veins and milk the blood up that way. Mm-hmm. There are little valves in the veins, by the way, that keep the blood from falling back down. And really what happens is those little valves fail. So when the blood goes the wrong direction, it has nowhere to go. It's not as though it can go backwards through the circulation. So it pressure builds. And that pressure can be very painful, can lead to all kinds of problems, including varicose veins, which are really a symptom of the thing we treat, which is called venous insufficiency.
Okay.
But a number of things can happen, including venous stasis ulcers, horrible swelling. I mean, it's disfiguring, not just uncomfortable, but painful.
So, and I was reading also that here in the heat of the summertime, this can exacerbate this problem. Is that right?
That's true, because heat, of course, causes veins to dilate even further and makes the problem worse. I should also point out that restless leg syndrome is a lot of our patients. I'd say 50% of our patients have complaint of some sort of similar symptom to restless leg syndrome, which leads me to believe that's mostly a venous problem.
So this occurs in men and women both. Is that right?
Yes. Women, about 70% of the patients with this problem are women, 30% are men. Men are much less likely to seek treatment, however, which is interesting to me. So when they come to see us, they are usually quite debilitated by the problem.
Yeah, and I imagine men probably don't notice as much because they have a bunch of hair on their legs, too. So the women see them, and that's why they want to get rid of them, right?
This is the 21st century, Ryan, so right. not all men go that way. I will say the onset of the symptoms is insidious because this problem develops over time. So it's amazing what people think. They have constant fatigue, and they think it's because they're a little bit older now. They get swelling in their ankles. They think that's perfectly normal in the summer. Mm-hmm. Well, none of that is normal, and the fatigue and pain, all of those things can be dealt with.
Well, that's a good point. Is there an age when this kind of symptoms start to take more, you see it more, or as you get older?
You know, as a general rule of thumb, it sort of goes with a decade of life. So, you know, maybe 50% of those in their 50s and 60% of those in their 60s and so on. It's a very common ailment, though. It's estimated that as many as 30% of all adults have some degree of venous insufficiency.
And then what are some of the more long-term effects of this if it goes untreated? What are some more severe effects that could happen?
Well, the most severe, of course, is profound swelling, which impedes being able to walk, and venous stasis ulcers, which are large, non-healing ulcers, which can lead to all sorts of problems.
And that's awful. So you can start preventatively treating this at Vein Innovations, but also can treat some of the more longer-term symptoms that may develop as well.
Right. Well, the preventative stuff, we have a fairly robust cosmetic practice where we treat spider veins, which are really very tiny little varicose veins, but don't have the same kind of negative implication as the larger varicose veins do. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people, if they want to get those treated, to get them treated as early as possible, because if you have the gene for it, they'll keep on coming back.
And walk me through that treatment a little bit. So when the patient comes in, you've diagnosed they need some of this treatment, what are some of the methods you'll use, and how long does that typically take?
Well, we do a free cosmetic consult, which involves a very quick ultrasound screening. And really, the ultrasound is our big diagnostic tool. We use it. It's painless. It's fairly quick, and it's now their office-based ultrasound is just fantastic and very very sensitive and accurate. So everyone who comes in gets an ultrasound.
So they get that free ultrasound or free
for the cosmetic consult. It's a very quick free ultrasound. For people who call in with the sorts of symptoms we've been discussing, pain, swelling, large varicose veins, those folks will get a full ultrasound of the venous tree, and that's a more time-intensive effort. Mm-hmm. They'll also see a physician, always, for treatment recommendations. We devise a treatment plan for every individual. And if they wish to proceed, and they almost always wish to proceed, then we deal with the insurance companies after that.
And is that one treatment, two treatments, over several weeks? How long does it typically take to go?
It is typically a process. So it's not like having one's gallbladder out, for instance.
Right, time and you're done.
Right. We treat one leg at a time. We do one procedure at a time. There are compelling reasons for that, and that's the most effective and safest method.
So that's good. And then you're able to provide them, is there, once it, does it come back? Uh, does people need continuous treatment, or how does that work?
Right now, we do the primary treatment for varicose vein disease, that big venous insufficiency, is what's called thermal ablation. We take a catheter and slide it inside the vein under ultrasound guidance and heat the vein up from the inside, and it causes a collagen reaction. No, well, we use local anesthetic
That's
for
good.
It. So otherwise, yeah, it would be painful. So,
right.
Yeah.
So no worries there, listeners.
Right.
They'll take care of you.
It's very comfortable. It's about like having a cavity filled. That's how most of our patients describe it. So it's not bad. Mm-hmm. At any rate, this process is called thermal ablation. There are a couple of ways of doing it, but that's the usual method.
Okay. So let's talk about, what sets you apart at Vein Innovations from some of the other providers out there who may be doing some of this. What makes you different?
Well, a number of things. For one, we have the most experience, I think, of any vein practice in the city. We were the first to offer every treatment modality. So, as I said, there are a number of ways of doing thermal ablation. Radiofrequency, laser are the two main ones. We offer both since some patients may be better served by one or the other. Mm-hmm. We also do in-office ambulatory phlebectomy. We have expertise at that, which is actually removing some of the residual varicose veins. Mm-hmm. We have, as I say, a robust cosmetic practice where we do foam injection sclerotherapy. We've been doing that for years. And really, we brought most of these techniques to Atlanta or innovated most of them ourselves.
Well, that's great, because I know I listen to the radio and it almost seems like every day there's a new commercial out there of somebody popping up offering these type of services. But knowing that Vein Innovations has been doing it longer and more effectively than anyone else can bring some, at ease to the listeners that they can trust you and your services for sure.
I think so. It's a complicated disease state, really, but it's very easy to get into. So I used to chide our vendors about this because they'd sell these generators, radio frequency generators or lasers, to virtually anyone who could buy one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of physicians who were in totally unrelated fields might think, oh, I go to a weekend course, I buy this generator, and I'm in business doing veins. And those folks can, in fact, treat about 75% of the problems that will present. It's treating the more difficult ones that sets us apart, and treating them well and consistently and mm-hmm. concisely.
Yeah, definitely bringing some good quality work to the table there. Rich, you may want to take a visit over there to Vein Innovations and get your spider veins treated.
You mean the veins popping out of my head sometimes? Rich Kasten over here, producer, engineer. A couple of quick questions here for you. You mentioned insurance. Is that typically covered, or what's the limitations or restrictions, or...
It is typically covered. The vast majority of our revenues come from insurance. But I should also point out that the vast majority of our practice deals with these medically necessary issues.
Rather than the cosmetic. So cosmetic typically wouldn't cover, but in some cases it would.
Occasionally. It depends. Every case is different.
Okay. And I don't want to take away from customers coming through your door, but I'm just kind of curious from... tips or causes or, preventive action. Is there things that people can do? Is it related to diet, or is it just a natural progression, of age? Is weight? Weight is probably...
It's genetics. So the thing to do is choose your parents carefully.
nice. Yeah. Good answer, yeah. But after the procedures, is it likely to resurface, or is, again, there's things that they can do to prevent, or is it just like come down to genetics at the end of the day?
I started to answer that question earlier and got sidetracked. About 95% of the patients who are treated with the methods we use are symptom-free after 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I can't say that they never come back there are certain incidences in which they might come back, but it's rare.
Okay. And I know you kind of threw on some technical terms, but in layman's terms, is it a combination in terms of the treatment procedures where occasionally, did I hear you say you're removing some of the veins, or are you just increasing the circulation?
Well, yes, good point. The varicose veins are a symptom of the problem we treat. However, the varicose veins themselves can really be a problem if they're left there. Okay. About half the time when we close the big vein, the main one, the varicose veins go away on their own. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then we come back, and in the office under a local anesthetic, we remove those remaining varicosities.
Okay.
Right. So you guys are doing some unique things out there to get customers as well. You got have the company health fairs that you offer. People can sign up, get their company. How does that work?
Anyone can contact our business development department, and a woman named Carrie Sipp, who's with us in the studio today, is in charge of setting those things up. And we do several health fairs a month. You know, a big part of this for us, Ryan, was education. Mm-hmm. Since there was no good treatment and no consistent treatment for varicose vein disease or venous insufficiency until about 2000, we tended in the medical community to just treat it as though it wasn't really a problem. Because that's what we do. If we don't have a cure for something, that's not a problem. So education, both in the medical community and in the community at large, has been a very big part of what we've had to do to get our message out there.
Right, and I see another way you educate consumers out there is the Lunch and Learn for people at their office. Up to 15 people get a free ultrasound vein screening. How has that been for you?
That's worked out very well over the years. We still do that. We upon occasion, we'll free up one of our a vascular technologist and send her out with a portable ultrasound machine, buy some folks lunch and tell them what we do.
That's great. You know, men get their legs done too, according to Vein Innovations, and they can get it done at the office if that's what you need to, you know, to get your legs looking good again. So just remind our listeners, July 15th, 4 to 6 p.m., free vein screenings, food, drinks, and fun at their new Midtown location. That's 1355 Peachtree Street, Suite 1550. So looking forward to that. Go to veininnovations.com for your reservations for that, too. So, after the Midtown location, got any plans for further expansion? What about all over the metro? I mean, there's more legs out there, you know, that need to be treated.
There are a lot more legs out there, and I think Metro Atlanta would be happy to have more Vein Innovations.
And do you guys do any of the medical conferences or maybe some of these other expos out there in the metro area? I know we were at a live expo a couple months
World
ago.
Congress Center.
And I thought that you guys had a team out there representing in a booth. Oh, I think we interviewed them that day. So
I think we did. Yeah. We do. We work with the Georgia Nurse Educators Association. We will present papers at their conferences and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah, we're all, as I said, we're all about education and really advancing the science.
That's great. And how do you get some of these new staff members? Where do you find some of these new talent up and coming to get to join Vein Innovations?
You know, that is tough to do. We've been very lucky. We've assembled a very good team. When we have job openings, which happens more and more these days, we typically, word of mouth seems to bring people in to see us.
Right, so it's a great place to work. Vein Innovation is a great place to get your legs treated.
And speaking of your team, I see you're married to another CEO. How does that grow your business or impact?
I'm only the CEO at work, while Beth is the CEO in both places. Yeah, okay. My wife Beth Finnerty runs a place called Skyland Trail, a big nonprofit mental health facility.
And what's their mission there?
Their mission is it's community-based treatment for adults with severe and chronic mental illness.
So
they see a lot of people with schizophrenia, bipolar disease, that sort of thing. She has been in that job for, I think, 25 years now. Oh. She grew that basically from a little tiny acorn into a big oak tree.
So every dinner at the dinner table is a CEO roundtable discussion.
Sorry. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Well, that's probably, from a business perspective, makes for an interesting combination, because if one person is spinning all those plates like you are with your business and the other person is in a traditional job, sometimes the appreciation for the efforts, the hours that you're spending don't necessarily translate. But in her case, I'm sure they do with her responsibilities.
That's true. And I always hasten to point out that I learned a great deal about operating a business and managing people from Beth.
Who's been all right, Beth, you heard that on the radio. Yeah, so
great testimonial there. Well, thank you, David, for joining us here today. Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more information about getting their veins treated?
Absolutely, Ryan. The obvious way, of course, is to go to veininnovations.com, our website, which will direct people to where they need to go. Mm-hmm. Our main telephone number is 678-731-9815. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't know a lot about that stuff.
Yeah, twitter.com/veininnovations, facebook.com/veininnovations. Just put in Vein Innovations into the Google search box, and you will get pointed in the right direction. So thanks for joining us. Can you stick around a little further as
Absolutely.
We talk to our Douglas over here? Thank you so much.
And I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Georgia Business Radio, home of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. And that's here every Friday morning at 11 o'clock in our Buckhead studio. And Ryan, who's up next?
Douglas Cito is the president and CEO of Cito Logic, which provides software and analytics for financial institutions and retailers. Douglas is responsible for the overall direction and software expansion of the company, overseeing the long-term strategy and positioning. Welcome to Georgia Business Radio, Douglas Cito.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Nice to be here.
Oh, good, good. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to talking about Cito Logic and how you're serving the community. But tell us a little more about your backstory and what brought you to the studio here today.
My backstory is a long and sordid one, probably. after graduating from college here in Oglethorpe University, I went into the banking field and worked with the bank, SunTrust Bank, here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I've always spent a lot of time in the Atlanta business community. From there, went into a startup, and we did some internet development and consulting in the early 90s when no one heard about Twitter and Facebooks and Googles out there.
Yep.
And we did a lot of web development and was fortunate for that opportunity to do very well. And then back in 94... my father, actually, Nicholas Cito, started a company called Cito & Associates, which was a bank management consulting firm. Mm-hmm. Fortunate enough to be able to join him and take the experience that I had in the banking space and in the startup space and bring that to the table over at Cito & Associates in the mid to late 90s. And had the fortunate opportunity, you work with Beth, I guess your wife and your CEO around the table. I'm fortunate enough to work with my father mm-hmm. on a regular basis, running Cito & Associates and Cito Logic. So our family dinners and our family luncheons are our CEO roundtables. So
yeah. Well, you've got a lot of fun. CEO in the name. Just
yes.
Put the T in the middle there.
There you go.
There
you go. So then we started Cito Logic outside of, pulled it out of Cito & Associates back in the... around 2007, 2008. And then that company, along with Cito & Associates, both of them have been growing and thriving. Cito & Associates, for the last 21 years, Cito Logic now moving into, the seventh or eighth year of its own. Mm-hmm. And both companies have had the fortunate opportunity of expanding not only in the Atlanta area. We work with the likes of about 2 or 3, 1,000 clients around the country. From a bank and credit union standpoint in Atlanta, we work with everybody from, United Community Bank all the way up in Blairsville. We work with, Georgia United Credit Union. So we have, dozens of clients in the Atlanta area and always looking to expand that. But our practice is national in focus.
Yes, I see you have clients in all 50 states and Canada providing smart solutions that make dollars and cents.
That's right. It's a... It's a great little tagline that our marketing department came up with a while back, because one of our applications that we have over at Cito Logic is called C3 Financial. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it works with banks and credit unions to help forecast the amount of coin and currency, the dollars, right, that
yep.
they have in their vaults, in their ATMs, and in their teller drawers, and their cents. It makes sense to do it, and there's cents in the drawer. So it's a nice little play on one of our applications and really what it does.
Yeah, so go a little more detail about that and what Cito Logic does yeah. for the business out there. So you provide the software behind the scenes, and mm-hmm. is this something you developed yourself, or do you have a team of people working on this?
Well, I mean, I think I would be foolish to say that I did it all myself. I think I had some good ideas, but I've been always surrounded with a great team of individuals mm-hmm. that work at Cito Logic mm-hmm. That have been very innovative along with myself over the years. And so I can't take, obviously, full credit, but fortunate to have a great group of people around me. You know, what the application ultimately does, what we call C3 Financial, and a lot of people laugh when we say it, right? Mm-hmm. We help banks figure out how much money to keep in an ATM or how much money to keep in a teller line so that when us as customers, go to an ATM or go to withdraw money from that teller line, that the proper amount of money is there, the proper nickels, dimes, 20s, 50s, 10s. And when I describe that at a very high level to people, they go, banks and credit unions need that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they actually do.
They can't figure it out on their own?
Yeah, you'd think they would, and I think banks over the years have been very sophisticated in coming up with nice spreadsheets to to determine how much cash to keep in a branch or how much cash to keep in an ATM. But we've been fortunate enough to develop very sophisticated forecasting algorithms, all in the cloud, all web-based, mm-hmm. that allow financial institutions to kind of plug in their activity throughout the day, week, and a month inside of a location. Our algorithms then come back very accurately and say, this week at this location, you're going to need to order this much currency, and then you're going to put that currency in your ATMs and your teller lines, and that'll work with your armored car provider to get it to you. So, it's a very sophisticated process at the end of the day because, we're working on kind of the end-to-end supply chain of cash. Mm-hmm. We're working with a bank or a credit union's core system to get teller data out. We're working right on the firing line with the head tellers and the branch managers. And then we're taking that all the way to the fulfillment. So if you think about those guns and trucks that drive around, like Brinks, Loomis, mm-hmm. Dunbar, Garda, we work very closely with them to get orders from a branch or orders from an ATM out, notify one of those big armored car carriers so that the money is delivered to a branch, on time and at the right amount. Mm-hmm. And there's two levels to that, right? There's the customer service level, making sure that we have the proper amount of cash at the branch to service the customer's needs. But we work very closely with both the firms, but very closely with CEOs and CFOs. Because at the end of the day, CTO Logic is very focused on non-interest earning assets. We have other solutions that are around that. Mm. But if you think about money sitting in your wallet, it's the same as sitting in an ATM or in a branch. If it's not being used, it's not earning interest. If I could go to a bank and take 25 or 30% of the cash that's sitting in their branch network out, that at times can equate to millions of dollars. So they can bring that money back in-house, at millions of dollars, bring it back into house, and we can start deploying it into what these banks are. And most of these banks are community banks. Mm-hmm. So we want them to be pulling the money out of their vaults, out of their ATMs, out of other non-interest areas, getting it back into the hands of the CEO, the CFO, and the lending community so that they can put it into projects in their community. They can help right. neighborhoods grow, families buy cars, family buys homes, and help invest in the community. And that's really why we've been so focused in the community bank market over the years, is we feel that if we can help these community banks become more efficient, we can help them reduce non-interest earning assets, turn that money around, and allow them to put it back into their community. We've done it here in the Atlanta area, dozens of times. We've done it thousands of times around the country, and it gives us at CTO Logic a great feeling that we can create some found money in some senses and put it back into these communities and really help businesses and families grow around the country.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win on a lot of different levels, for the consumer, for the bank itself, and for CTO Logic, for providing that good service. Talk a little bit about the retailer side of things. So you're helping financial institutions, but also said you're helping retailers out there.
Yeah, we have a solution we developed a few years back called C3, again, but with the word financial. Instead of financial, we call it retail. Mm-hmm. And that retail solution is a solution that allows for a 7-Eleven or a Quick Trip, a small business owner that has a lot of cash moving in and out, we've created a forecasting piece of software that partners with what we call an intelligent safe, similar to an ATM, but it only takes money in. And the way I describe that, Ryan, is, have you ever gone into a 7-Eleven and you see that that steel box in the back of the 7-Eleven? Where they put the $100 bill that that obviously you would give them, or the 50 that you would give them, they don't want to put that in the till, and it's for protection of the money. Mm-hmm. But over time, that safe starts to fill up. So we've taken our forecasting engine and attached it to what we would call now an intelligent safe that are manufactured by the people like NCR, mm-hmm. and Diebold and other big manufacturers that create. The same steel box, but they put a bill reader on it, like a Coke machine. So now I'm inserting the $100 bill in the machine, and we've added our forecasting and intelligence to say, here's how fast that machine's filling up. Here's how much money's in it. And that helps the bank. It helps the retailer understand how much money's going in there. When should I unload it? Should I have an armored car come pick it up and take mm-hmm. the money to the bank and deposit it? So it's a very, very same, very similar forecasting algorithm and analytics that we used on our C3 financial side, and we've applied it into the retail space as well.
That's interesting. And I'm sure that the banks, there are certain times of the month when they need to have more money on hand, just as the retailer should have more money on hand, whether it's, you know, the first of the month or the 15th of the month. And and then you don't need it maybe as much towards the end of the month when people have run out of money. So,
right.
You know, and that's part of what you figure out for the banks, when to have that on hand, when to keep the majority of it so they can get out.
Yeah, absolutely. I always use the example, you know, you don't want an ATM that's sitting in Hilton Head, South Carolina, by the beach in the middle of the winter, being loaded with cash, because it's just going to sit there. Years ago, I did a study for a bank, and we found four ATMs with, you know, a couple $100,000 in these four ATMs, and you would go back and look at the activity of that ATM, and you would see $20 or $30 or $40 or $50 come out of this machine just kind of every few days. So you're sitting down with the executives, the retail operations people, and you're, you know, well, Ryan, what is this ATM?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it sits in the baseball stadium. Well, not baseball season. Do we really need to have the money there?
You're right.
And that's the things that, you know, that our applications do. I mean, they give, you know, insight, and vision into kind of what's going on inside the branch network, what's going on with all those devices and all those people that are handling cash.
Yes.
Right? And for some institutions, it can be tens of millions, and for the largest banks, it can be hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's a standardized, kind of smart, you know, mathematical way. I don't even know if mathematical is a word.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good, right?
Right.
But it's a great way to look into what's going on in the operations and how you handle that cash. And it, you know, it's just a natural progression in what everybody's been doing with the invention of, you know, from pencil and paper at one point to ledgers to spreadsheets. You know, so now we're just taking all that technology and we're leaping it forward, and we're just putting it in a, you know, SaaS-based in a cloud solution.
Rich Kasten over here again. On that steel box you described, do you have a key to that, or
you know,
did you bring any with you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, and depending on how a lot of those relationships work, typically only a store owner, a store manager, and an armored car guy has the key.
Absolutely,
no one else does.
And on a serious note, for that that box, if you will. So you say that now you have the technology where it's wired to determine how much cash flow is going through there. Is that connected to the internet in real time, or is it just you measure the analytics after the fact, or can that be fast forward to the point that it could be measured and then alerted to Loomis, whoever, that they need to make a stop over there?
No, all our applications are connected to the web.
Okay. Like you said, cloud-based.
Cloud-based. Most of the processes for banks and or retailers is pretty batch-based when it comes to the end of day. If you think about a bank, or you think about a retailer, you know, a teller counts out their drawer at the end of the day. So we take end-of-day cash balances by denomination, and then we know by denomination how much we've consumed. So we can do it on a real-time basis. We have in the past. It just really depends on the appetite of our clients to say, do I want to feed you a file every 5 minutes, or do I want to feed you a file at midnight? So it can be either way.
Okay.
Yep. And then, of course, to finish that off, the system's got, both systems have tons of alerts built in to alert senior management at a bank or credit union or a retailer to say, you know, we're reaching a critical level. You know, we need to notify a vendor.
You must have the intense high level of security to the Pentagon level to be able to monitor all this, right?
We take that very seriously. You know, our clients are always worried about, you know, we carry cash data at branch.
Yeah.
I know when an armored truck
drive
up.
Right.
So, you know, we are, you know, we held under a lot of scrutiny through banks and through the reserve and the audit levels that we have to have. And even going into our offices, in fact, we have a fingerprint reader.
Wow.
So that, you know, just nobody can walk in. So.
We need to get one of those. We're thinking about like a where they read people's toes, a toe print.
Right. Yeah, that'd be neat. Like a nose print. Something nose interesting, print. Right?
Exactly. A little spin on it. Yeah.
Right.
One last question in the back. I know Ryan has a bunch of questions. ATM machines, what's the max they can hold in terms of, you threw out some numbers, but.
Yeah, it's kind of
Or is that top loaded, secret
It's a loaded question,
yeah,
really. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what am I putting $1 bills in, or am I putting $100 bills in? But, you know, I think you could find the average ATM carries anywhere from, you know, $40,000 to $70,000, depending on the kind of money they put in.
I remember when I was at Florida State, you go to ATM, you could get $5. You could do a $5 transaction
right.
ATM.
Right.
And
right.
Then the first time they ramped up to 20, I'm like, as a student, I'm like, I don't need 20.
Right.
I just need
right.
$5. Yeah.
I had the same problem, but when you go to Vegas, it's only hundreds.
I was going to say, I was recently in Vegas back in April,
right.
And I think the ATM machine was hooked right to the vault.
Right, right.
It didn't stop.
No, yeah. And that ATM could have a couple $100,000 right. in it, just in $100 bills.
And I played the slot machine. I played the Keno machine, but the only machine that kept paying me was the ATM.
The ATM, right? Absolutely. Well, they don't have those big buildings down there for no reason,
that's right?
That's right.
It was a lot of fun, though. So, but how do businesses know that they need your services, or how does business find you these days?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we heavily prospect inside of, you know, Federal Reserve data. We know the bank and credit union market very well. It's mm-hmm. it's an intimate market, so it's easy for us to define who they are. So we obviously run lots of analytics of our own on our clients, and we look at opportunities and decide, you know, how much they have in vault cash. What do they have in a branch location? You know, how many, you know, locations are you carrying? Do you have two locations? I may not call on you. Do you have 20? Do you have 200 locations? So, you know, they find us in a bunch of different ways. If they have a large cash network and they feel like it's a lot to manage over, they'll start searching for us on the web, and they'll meet us at conventions and shows about cash management, and we engage with them that way. Other ways that we look at it is if there are institutions that are looking to find more money to lend out, and they see a lot of non-interest earning assets sitting around, it might be in a Federal Reserve project. We have a solution called deposit reclassification that was invented back in 94 and pioneered by my father. That's part of CTO Logic now, but you know, deposit reclassification. So if a bank sees themselves holding a great deal of money at the Federal Reserve Bank, and as we know, the Federal Reserve's paying, you know, little to no interest on that money, and the bank sees that money kind of locked away, with deposit reclassification, we can get that out. So you'll see, you know, CEOs and CFOs sitting around in their own meetings and in their own communities, and talking to each other about, you know, here's how I've freed up money, here's how I've created more liquidity. And we have just an absolutely spectacular referral network. We have a lot of great clients that talk about us and the things that we do. So a lot of our business and how they find us is you know, simple balance sheet management, and us obviously reaching out to them in right. sophisticated ways, and just a lot of it's just referral.
And you mentioned trade shows,
yeah.
conferences.
Yeah.
You know, we do a lot of that here at Business Radio X. We have an offshoot that we called Radio in My Booth, where mm-hmm. we'll go out to some of these conferences, yeah. trade shows, and interview folks on the trade show floor.
Yeah.
And I know that can be a great place to market and you know, get your word out there.
Sure.
But particularly on the retailer side, I guess, you know, you may be an independent retailer or you know, use a lot of cash on hand, and they're not actively looking for these kind of solutions.
Yeah.
So you have to find them. And I imagine in a lot of cases.
Yeah, we do that. And our retail solution is, you know, the position that we've taken is we don't do direct sales of the retail solution. We use a lot of community bank partners that want to take yeah. the safe and go out to their community banks, into their communities, and find their own retailers, other book of business. Mm-hmm. You know, a small community bank that has, you know, a guy who owns 5 Subways.
Yes.
You know, so
right.
the community bank themselves will position our product with
I see.
Them.
So they're yeah. they're advocating your yeah. services through them. So that's good. So just remind our listeners, we're talking with Douglas Seto, President and CEO of Seto Logic. You can go to SetoLogic.com for more information about his services and the solutions he can provide to you. And so, yeah, Rich?
You mentioned the Federal Reserve Bank. I was just noticing that the Atlanta Press Club, we're members of the Atlanta Press Club,
yeah.
and they have Dennis Lockhart. He's the president and CEO.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve Bank is going to be speaking at a luncheon here August 10th.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe.
A lot of news coming out of the Fed lately, right? I mean, with what's going on in the economy with you know, banks looking to the Fed for the regulation and the regulatory stuff, looking at what the rate environment's going to do and all those measurements. It's something that I think everybody, if they have time, should absolutely try to attend if
yeah.
it's an open meeting, because I
it
think
is.
The you know, it's an interesting world in the financial space right now.
maybe we should have him in on Georgia Business Radio. And
that'd be a great idea.
Bring Douglas back in.
Absolutely. Yeah,
nice.
So CedoLogic helps institutions increase earnings, manage risk, and improve operations.
Yep.
And so, again, go to CedoLogic.com. Any other way folks can find you? Are you on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. We have a Twitter. We have a great blog. If no one's following CTone Associates or, you know, our sister company, CetoLogic, you know, go to either site. You know, CTO and Associates URL is www.ceto.com, and CetoLogic is www.ceto.logic.com. There's a blog link on both of those sites if you're not following them. It is something that all our staff on both firms do. They participate in writing kind of timely pieces. If it's about interest rates, if it's about sales, if it's about something that's happening in the financial space, and they're not always about exactly products and services that we offer. They're just fun. They're light.
Really? Lighthearted blogs from coming?
It's a lot of fun. So I would recommend that you guys and any listeners here today, just hit our website, join our blog, follow them. They're just a lot of fun.
Well, that's good. And that's a good transition kind of into our next segment here, which is just a little more personal interest.
Okay, yeah.
A little more, we always like to pick the brains of the CEOs out there who are changing the world. And so I'll turn our attention back to David here for a moment from Vane Innovations. Where do you go to get inspired, or what do you do to inspire you to continue to grow your business?
Ooh, good question. Well,
thank you, Rich. Mark that down. One good question.
Yeah. Good question.
tabs and tallies here.
For us, and I think in this environment, for any business, really any small business, but particularly any small business in medicine, we need to continue to grow if we want to survive. The environment becomes less and less welcoming, mm-hmm. I should say, as time goes on, with decreasing reimbursement. You know, a lot of anxiety swirling around the ACA, and insurance companies seem to have a lot more power than maybe they should. So, yeah, for us. Yeah. If we want to survive for the next 10, 15 years, then we need to keep growing.
Yeah, but what inspires you? Do you have a lake house you go to, a Zen garden in the back of the house? And where do you go to kind of get away from it all? Because business can weigh heavily on your day-to-day basis.
Do you pilot helicopters or just hang out in your hammock?
Yeah,
or,
Let me say that in general, I try to separate myself from the business when I can, but it's tough to do, and I think Douglas would agree with that. It tends to follow you around.
Yeah.
We do have a little, and I mean a little tiny cabin up at the lake that my mother left us, and we spend a little time up there and try to have a nice retreat at home.
Turn the phone off, turn the computer off, just hang
out
at the lake
house. There's no access to anything up there.
I'd like to have that.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what about you, Douglas? What inspires you, or where do you go to get inspired?
I have what inspires me, I guess, in a lot of ways. I have a lot of friends and business partners, colleagues that are obviously in technology space or in a bank space. So we enjoy bouncing ideas off of each other. What kind of inspires me personally? I've always been a big fan of photography. Okay. I've always really enjoyed, black and white photos, spending time not only taking pictures of landscapes, but my family and spending time doing that. And then kind of recently, my inspiration has moved away from, holding a camera and flying a drone with a camera on it.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I got a trip coming. In fact, I have a trip coming up to Hawaii. So I'm saying, as part of my inspiration, I actually bought a case so I could take my drone with me and fly it somewhere in Hawaii, just because I think that's going to be pretty fascinating.
So when you fly, do you check a drone or how does that work? Overhead baggage?
I'm going to check it, or I'm going to try to fly it alongside the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That'd be interesting outside your windows. This remote could control.
For 9.5 hours all the way.
Just attach it to the wing. I'm sure Delta won't have any problem with
that. No problem with it. But I bought a hard case and I'm going to check it and lock it up and hope for the best on the other end when I pick it up.
So can I see a day when the ATMs need to be refilled? You just have a drone deliver cash over there? Yeah.
Hey, after Amazon figures out how to deliver packages, I'll think about that for ATMs.
Well, you had the CEO of Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Chris Rupp, VP of Global Amazon Prime, was on
the
show talking about the launch of same-day delivery here in the metro Atlanta area, being one of the 14 cities that they're offering that service to now. So very interesting.
Just mind-boggling. Atlanta is only one of 14 cities being in this beta test, but it's already in play right now.
That's cool.
And what'd they say, that you can order your widget for a million products online? that morning.
That morning and have it delivered before you go to bed.
That's amazing.
Right. To your door.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's amazing. What a logistical.
And if a drone drops that off, even better.
Right.
That's
another true. Show, drone radio, yeah.
Right, there you go.
Back to David for a moment. Anyone along the way really mentored you or gave you a hand up in business as you were growing that that you really look back upon and really give a lot of credit to?
You know, I hate to say this, but yeah, my wife Beth.
Perfect. No, don't hate to say that.
I keep giving her credit, but yeah, she really was the one. Watching her do it made me realize that maybe I could do it myself. And yeah. She'd been a big help.
Because we talk to entrepreneurs all the time in here, and we talk to people, you know, get to the C level and such. But you know, someone along the way had to help them, and then when you get to this level, it's also great to give a hand back down to those who are starting, young entrepreneurs or someone out there who's you know just getting their business started. So. Yeah. Are you involved with any of that?
As it happens, after I leave here, I'm going to spend a couple of hours with a young friend of mine. I've known him actually most of his life, who is always pitching one business idea or another. he has it. You know, you ask about inspiration. I think in the end, we have to really enjoy what we're doing to involve ourselves, invest this much of ourselves in it. So, yeah, that's all
that's
part
great.
Of it. Entrepreneurs can't stop.
No, that's right. So kudos to you for continuing that cycle of helping each other out. And Douglas, I imagine, you know, same, your father was someone who inspired you, mentored you, and continues to as you grow the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was just an absolutely great father growing up. And then as I had the opportunity to continue to work with him in my later career, it's an experience that, you know, I wouldn't replace and love the opportunity to take from his experience. And then I've also, you know, been inspired by a lot of other, you know, family members that have always in some way, shape or form done something or changed the world that have just always really interested me.
Is there a particular book that you've read or are reading that you'd like to tell our listeners about that kind of keeps you motivated or brought some knowledge to you that's helped you succeed?
You know, it's been a while since I've actually picked up a book. You know, I get so stuck in a lot of these trade
magazines.
You're
spinning so many plates. Yeah.
But you wind up reading so many snippets, you know, on the web, and you go read blogs and stuff like that, that you know, books and stuff have just become so much more difficult to sit down with. Mm-hmm. But I've always enjoyed, years ago I read a book that inspired me called The Bell Curve. And I've always found The Bell Curve to be just a really fascinating book, and I read that back in the, you know, the late 2000s or early 2000s, late 90s, and it was a book that I've always found absolutely fascinating. But now I, you know, a lot of my reading is, you know, what's going on in the world and in the industry and.
Yeah, the trade publications, like you said, the Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review. Right. I know those are all go-to publications for a lot of these CEOs out there.
Yeah, sometimes Wall Street Journal can be an inspiration, and other times, not so much.
I'm currently reading Money for Dummies right now. But
there you go.
No,
there you go.
Made that up. I don't know if that's a title.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen, both for joining us here today on Georgia Business Radio. We wish you both much success in your businesses and continue to grow this booming Atlanta economy and all the good things that folks are doing out there. Any final thoughts from you, Rich?
Just a great show, Ryan. Just very interesting conversation, and it's amazing the continuity of the conversation, even though completely different, you know, industries. But, I mean, one of my phrases is be inspired, be inspiring.
That's right.
So, I mean, I think that's the takeaway from today, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. So if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly through the contact page at buckheadbusinessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Rich Casanova. On behalf of Georgia Business Radio and the entire Business Radio X network, I am Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.